You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
Good evening, everyone. You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting this Monday, August 6th, 2018. I'm your host, Richard Kotokevich, and this is Arcane Semantics. Hope everyone has been dealing with the summer well enough so far. I don't know, I have really not been enjoying it enough myself. I always seem to be trying to catch up with material, enjoying nature. I put too far down the list, and I really need to balance and, you know, appreciate nature. It can rejuvenate you, you know, psychologically, spiritually. And, you know, it can be very inspiring to get back in touch. I have always appreciated being around the trees. I need to at least get to some forest preserves a little more often, or something of that nature, before it's cold around here in Chicago once again. I didn't even get to all of the topics I wanted to touch on last week. And I find just so much more material pushing ahead of any theme shows. I have a couple of theme shows in mind, in addition to getting a couple other guests on in near future, for everyone to expect to look forward to. But yeah, there are a couple of shows a bit more narrow topical sort of focus that I've been meaning to fit in, but I just noticed lately there's just a lot of news I really want to report, you know, in a timely manner, that's been current, that's been active. And yeah, like I say, summers in particular lately have no shortage of such. So I'm just trying to see how well I balance fitting everything in at the best time. Those of you who perhaps don't prefer updates on a lot of topics in one show, well, I do apologize, but sometimes it just seems like there's just so much. I really do want to get in there a bit more while it's most relevant. Last week, I spent a lot of time talking about totalitarianism, and that includes everything from the war agendas to the Jewish stranglehold over our nations, and of course, the many ways it extends out. First and foremost, of course, the weaponized immigration. Covered a lot of specific updates from different countries I found relevant. Now, at the moment, we are seeing a lot of buzz about censorship and the independent media. I mean, we just heard A lot of talk regarding Alex Jones from everywhere lately, I believe Kyle included some clips even and discussed it a bit last night on the Solar Storm. I must say that this whole focus on freedom of speech seems very wary as far as, who to side with at the moment, because I really could see this going in so many directions into the future. I mean, a lot of people are claiming that this Alex Jones Sandy Hook case could set a strong precedent for future, depending on how it goes. We've had, of course, a lot that Wolfgang Halbig has uncovered. Anyone who has not, I recommend get his book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. I know you can't find it on Amazon, but surely it's still available in some forms. But this was an important event. Instead of having to focus on so many of these incidents, you get well-versed in this one and cite a lot of it to people who either need the information or are shilling for the official gun-grabbing agendas. If they're able to be awakened, you can wake them up pretty well, I'd say, with many of the revelations Wolfgang has provided. So, there's, of course, the gun agenda, but this seems, at the moment, as far as Alex Jones is coming into the picture, it seems getting steered a lot more toward freedom of speech and the independent media, what you can and cannot question. And it's certainly a dicey area to make broad judgment calls over as far as how it pertains to the future. But now, we're having this claims simultaneous to that of Facebook and Twitter being so ultra-leftist in their bias, against the Trump administration and conservatives is what everyone is talking about lately. And I really see this is potentially leading up to a Hegelian attack upon free speech. I mean, this is where I say we have to be very wary in where this could take us. This one story out of Investment Watch blog, Facebook and Google are about to get a rude awakening after the Senate just put its foot down. And we're talking about a new policy paper making the rounds in Congress and tech circles could signal the future of regulating big tech. This includes social media big tech. Now, I could very easily see, this going in an entirely wrong direction, in a very Orwellian sort of direction. Social media and independent media are biased toward ultra-leftist points of view, even against the current president. So, the feds have to come in and start regulating all social media. Let's just throw in all independent media while we're at it, And don't worry, we'll take care of the bias between the leftists and the righties, and anything outside of those official narratives, well, they simply won't exist at all anymore. That's what I see. So, you can solve a small problem that you invent, creating a much larger, potentially impassable wall for the future. And that this is really what I see as the biggest danger to this. So, do you really trust the government to look after your interests in going after Facebook, going after Google? I mean, just right on the surface, it's fraught with concern, you know. It just seems like it's just a fight for the power grab, you know, who's going to be the top dog. But certainly the people are going to be disadvantaged, exploited, and lied to say the least, no matter who wins. You know, I see it as us losing with that sort of a situation. And therefore, with this, you know, Alex Jones, Sandy Hook thing, I mean, there are a lot of ways that this can set a negative precedent, you know, and how they deal with it. Now Alex is saying that he does believe Sandy Hook happened. I don't know if that means I guess that means he believes that people really died as well. But you know, he's sticking to his rights to be able to have said that back at that time period and all this sort of thing. I mean, it really could turn out unfavorably. Just associating Alex Jones with Wolfgang Halbig and his confirmation, his revelations of how nobody died at Sandy Hook, is damaging to Wolfgang and dispelling the Sandy Hook official narrative. I mean, Alex is, you know, a kosher nutter, to put it gently. And I don't think it helps to attach his name to most anything. But in the case of, you know, he and Wolfgang together going to court and these charges, I can see that we have no choice but to side with, you know, freedom of speech of the media, basically. So it's hard to see how either of these things will turn out. But we'll just have to wait and see there. Now, we've had a lot of examples, both good and bad, regarding our liberties lately. I mean, there are always, every so often, are a few positive stories slipping through the cracks. I mean, I noticed a story mentioning how there was another U.S. town that had recently had the entire police department quit. Didn't devolve into lawlessness and chaos. It just reminds us how much this bloated federal presence and bureaucracy is a parasite for the tribe, is completely unnecessary to a good extent. I mean, sure, we want firemen, we want people policing our streets from violence. Paramedics and this sort of thing for emergencies, you know. But, you know, there's not that much we need beyond that. I mean, even the way streets are maintained is just all about keeping a large potential for, you know, your upcoming yearly budget. You know, keeping a lot of streets in disrepair, under construction, relative to your available workforce is a strategy. And of course, we've heard of alternatives, incorporating rubber or rubber-like material into the asphalt, where you won't get these regular cracks from temperature conditions throughout the year. And that's not going to help the revenue for the cities. You know, come on, this is about a money stream. You know, it's not about streamlining your cities, towns, neighborhoods. But this is certainly further than I wish to digress there. Now, we've had a lot of coverage, you know, of the Jewish lobbies from the past getting dredged up again in this era. I mean, we're seeing so much money going out of this country, for that matter, in so many forms, not to mention the waste inside the country, with infrastructure, for example, such as I mentioned. But we're getting a lot of people, you know, in this era who are pretty conservative regarding their Jew-wise qualities, you know, really still speaking up at least about the amount of money going to Israel. I mean, a lot of posts are bringing up APAC related interviews from what, 1988, 1990, talking about the Israel lobby and so much that just has not changed in so long. And, you know, we do have a lot of people still pointing out much of this. Virginia right now is trying to set some sort of precedent, is the impression some people are making toward their Israel contributions, state funding for Israeli companies and pro-Israel politicized textbooks. VIAB is a pilot for how Israel can quietly obtain taxpayer funding and official status for entities that advance Israel from within key state governments. And the Virginia Israel Advisory Board has been trying to foster such an arrangement. We have a new poll for all those who think that Trump is a, well, not really many on this station, for people you know out there who may think that Trump is still some sort of a representative of nationalism. A new poll finds 91.6% of Orthodox Jewish communities in New York City area support Donald Trump. So, obviously he's doing plenty right in their eyes and mind. We have a lot of discussion of Iran again, a lot of potential ramping up toward some sort of conflict. Iranian Navy has been holding drills in the Persian Gulf after the threats of blocking the Strait of Hormuz. I mean, we've had Israel making several threats. And of course, Iran has been included, although some of these have been directed at the current war zones. Iran has condemned the continued Saudi crimes in Yemen, calling on the international community for help. Meanwhile, Mad Dog Israel, very own PM Netanyahu, threatens Iran with all Israel's arms if Tehran blocks off key waterway in Yemen. Netanyahu declares Israel's readiness to join the Saudi-led bloody war in Yemen. Although we're hearing the declaration out of Israel that the Syria war is effectively over. It hasn't stopped them from continuing to bolster their exercises along the Golan Heights region that they still control. Israel has been conducting some exercises, or planning to in the next upcoming weeks. I mean, we've had a lot of declarations against Iran, Israel threatening to attack Iran if the Red Sea Strait is closed. And, you know, it's basically just preparation for, you know, this kind of shift. And we do see a strong shift. See Israel sort of abandoning a lot of its former alignments with the U.S., although still getting everything it wants from the U.S., and shifting a bit more east in its economic and policy focus. But regardless, we don't really have too much that will change unless we see a major upset to the current war machines. There's a declaration from our U.S. State Department that a new global terror group could emerge in Iraq due to lack of reforms. I'd say that could just translate into, you know, the U.S.-Israeli stranglehold over Iraq could be compromised in future if if we don't keep those people in check, and don't let them get any uppity ideas. We've had a lot of talk in Venezuela, for that matter. We've had footage showing a drone bomb exploded at a presidential rally. We have 6 terrorists arrested, even though some claims out there are that the incident was faked. I don't know. I mean, we're seeing talk of U.S. intervention as far as the regime there now. So it really seems, even though the U.S. is denying involvement, that the U.S. could have been involved. We're hearing a lot of comments on this from Colombia as well. Actually, their former president has been speaking out. And you know, it's basically does seem like more of the same with all these governments and, where your money's going. But I'm trying to get away from too much mucking down in the war zones there. I mean, we did have an interesting, getting back to the States and inspiring news. I mean, we had an interesting incident for firearms advocates. And I'm still planning to look more into this open carry ruling in Hawaii that supposedly could affect all states. Still don't have any further info on that. But, you know, if anyone wants to share anything in future comments, I'd appreciate anything that's shared on the issue. But we had an armed bystander taking down a gunman at a Florida Children's event. An armed bystander licensed to carry a firearm shot a gunman who opened fire at a back-to-school event. And this was reported on the local ABC affiliate. The shooting occurred shortly after 5:20 p.m. The shooter, whom police have not identified, returned to the park after a fist fight and began firing. A bystander carrying a firearm they were licensed to carry then shot the shooter, who was flown to a nearby hospital with life-threatening injuries, the police reported. And the bystander who shot the gunman had been fully cooperative with the investigation, according to local police. One officer was quoted saying, "We are extremely grateful that nobody else was injured in this incident." That was Deputy Chief Todd Hutchinson. "This suspect opened fire at a crowded public park. This could have been so much worse." So there you have it. We need to report more of these incidents of the good guy with the gun, foiling the day for the bad guy with the gun. This is exactly the sort of information they always try to suppress. I'm glad at least we have some recognition of these situations when they do happen. We've had Julian Assange recently come out claiming Facebook, Google, Yahoo are all spying tools for U.S. intelligence. Tell me something I don't already know. However, of course, it's nice to hear as many sources of confirmation for people who are still naive out there. I mean, I couldn't tell you the last time I bothered with Facebook. I mean, it's like it's not even worth going back in just to scrub it as well as you can, because you just don't even want all those data collection devices working against you. I mean, I'll do so many little processes on my computer to try to scrub all that adware, the cookies. There are so many ways it can be stored into the future. You don't even realize it. And then I'm seeing these little control messages Facebook is still collecting and sending data. But it had been weeks or longer since I had been logged in the past. I'm through with that, you know. Well, we've had a lot of mixed opinions, I know, out there regarding some of the alternatives in search engines and as far as social media. That's, you know, it's to each their own. I think just the more platforms, the better. You know, just like the amount of political parties, you know, don't just make it at least harder for all to be compromised by having more and more of them. The whole reason for the minimizing to the two parties, it was easier to pay them off, you know, in politics. And so with social media, we have to approach it the same way. We want more alternatives again. In the immediate, I think that's probably the best thing we can do. Let's see, we're nearing the first break already, and I do have a lot of topics I want to still include, but I would like to hear if there's any subjects any of you would like to share, Renegade listeners out there. You know, it's Monday, start to a fresh summer week here, beginning of August. Appreciating any calls as well. If you would like to call in, 747-999-6407, or perhaps after the break, that number again, 747-999-6407. And let's hear what's been on some of your minds out there as well. And of course, to everyone, I shouldn't have to remind you, but we are, of course, completely listener-supported here at Renegade. Please, please help out, you know. Every so often those bills come around, and it's a lot for Kyle and Sinead to deal with. Please, anything that you can do to help out, we appreciate any donations.
Professing Jew to be elected the United States Senate, Judah. See how efficiently he ran his sugarcane plantation with 140 slaves, Judah. Imagine his courage as he resigned from the United States Senate to serve as Secretary General, Secretary of War, and later as Secretary of State for the Confederacy. His image is on Confederate money, Judah. Watch as Jews help in his spectacular escape after the war ended, and enjoy how the Rothschild dynasty rewarded the first Jew in the U.S. Senate for protecting their financial investment in the African slave industry and effort to destroy the United States. Judah, coming this fall.
And we're back. And again, if anyone wants to call in, you can feel free. If anyone's listening in here and can't unmute or something, wants to contribute, you can just, of course, disconnect, call right back in so I'll know. But I know Kyle was discussing this whole incident with this New York Times editor yesterday. I wouldn't mind just mentioning a tiny bit as well. My two cents on it. Sarah Young is just pretty ridiculous. I've been following it. And, you know, it is pretty ridiculous when you try to actually put it in context or see it with reversed references, as it were. But yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of these were pretty ridiculous in the way, especially considering they try to act like she's the victim here. You know, I mean, they're fully defending her and saying that, oh, well, you know, back when she did that in 2014, it was in defense of people who were being racist toward her. And so, oh, it's, you know, it's okay to say things like, oh, man, it's kind of sick how much joy I get out of being cruel to old white men. I mean, you know, just straight out ridiculous kind of generalizations. And I mean, just the extremities of some of the, you know, white men are bullshit. Dumbass fucking white people marking up the internet with their opinions like dogs pissing on fire hydrants. And then, of course, the cancel white people hashtag. Just imagine, you know, cancel Jews. You know, hashtag cancel Jews going viral. I mean, not that it couldn't be pretty terrific, but, you know, just to expose the sort of privilege and double standard. But, you know, you're never going to see something like that get as much coverage, of course. I noticed one person actually took up the article's suggestion, though. They're saying this was a black reader. Well, no one can be sure that it's a reader of those articles in particular, but someone who was aware of it on Twitter, referred to as a black conservative. He was changing, just for the purpose of illustration, you know, changing the New York Times editor's tweets from white to Jewish and to black. This show just how, you know, how people would instantly swarm. It's perhaps the best word, you know, to swarm on someone. And, you know, of course, yeah, you know, his account was suspended. Illustrating a point or not. And there's a lot of interesting feedback, though, from this. I mean, we've had a lot of outlets backing her up now, you know, not just the New York Times, even, in her defense. And a lot of people are saying this is an extremely dangerous precedent, you know, trying to just institutionalize, pretty much, and set, you know, this precedent that anti-white racism doesn't exist. I mean, there's only so much you would think that people would tolerate, but if what we are told are white people, white people's representatives are constantly actually being spoken for by Jews and a few self-hating whites who've been brainwashed and thrown into the mix, and I mean, what, you know, and what can we accomplish is, of course, the real issue. That's why more and more need to get involved in the independent media, you know? I mean, there are really not nearly enough of us out there. It would be great if just about everyone did what I do, or broadcast even more, you know, every day or something even, you know? I could make such a difference for our folk in the long term. And there's a lot going on out there in the media, calling out what's going on in South Africa right now. And I know this is more Sinead and Kyle's specialty. Of course, Sinead's documentary describing the white genocide going on in South Africa is something everyone should definitely appreciate if they haven't already. But we're having a lot of articles now in just more conservative, you know, patriot independent circles, at least calling this out, combined with all of the double standards against whites that we're seeing in the Western world. It could be the start of something bigger. You know, I'm even seeing more articles referencing Jewish power to varying degrees. And so, you know, I wouldn't say that things are going downward for the independent media at the moment. I'd say quite the opposite, and that's why we're seeing all this ramping up, talk of regulating, the Sandy Hook, Alex Jones fiasco, and all the rest of it. But, yeah, a lot of people have interesting poignant articles on the South African situation. One entitled, South Africa is on the Road to Barbarism, and so is the rest of the West. Another, South Africa facing mass starvation and riots after white people's land seized. So these stories are getting out a bit, at least. And this article I was so a bit taken by. I wasn't quite expecting this amount of endorsement from our former president, but as government, and this was out of Investment Watch blog, as governments prepares to seize land from white farmers, Barack Obama congratulates South Africa on being an inspiration. And, I mean, that one just really threw me, you know. Despite the huge number of race killings in the South African government preparing to seize white farmers' land without compensation, a well-known situation in informed circles, Barack Obama gave a speech last month as he traveled to South Africa for the 2018 Nelson Mandela annual lecture in Johannesburg. Mind you, Nelson Mandela was a terrorist by any definition, a hardcore communist who was responsible for the deaths of tens of thousands of South Africans. And also he owns the current situation in South Africa. But, it goes on a bit, you know, now. Moving along, dear leader Barry Obama praised South Africa's current leader Cyril Ramaphosa for inspiring new hope in this great country. This was an actual quote from Barack Obama last month in South Africa. Inspiring new hope in this great country. End quote. Mind you, this is the same South African president who recently announced that he'll amend the constitution in order to make it legal to confiscate land from white farmers by the book and without compensation. It's purely as a move based purely on racism. There's no other way to describe it. A huge number of white farmers have already been killed and whites are being persecuted since Afrikaners decided to give away the land their ancestors settled 400 years ago, and many of them are now trying to flee the country. I wouldn't say they decided to give away the land. I don't know where they get that line from, but I mean, you know, it depends on how you look at it. But, you know, notwithstanding, I mean, just the idea that Obama is heralding this rather than intervening. It's absurd. And of course, now Trump as well doesn't seem to have a problem. I think Kyle was mentioning, you know, he'd order. I mean, this would be a reason to invade a country, you know, as opposed to all the reasons why we're in countries right now. Remarkable. It's completely topsy-turvy, upside-down world we're in. It's just, yeah, I mean, that one I just really could not get over, you know. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. Being an inspiration, in the words of Obama. We're seeing an interesting analysis of the cost, the real cost of relocation for all of the immigration going on. And even just the sort of economic-induced moves people are having to endure during, you know, the current economic situation is, it's been quite vast. We've seen, it's really interesting because, I mean, at least these are statistics, but it's not really giving a good picture. These are people who could afford to move based on the situation, you know, not the ones who wound up homeless in that vicinity. But, you know, it's good to be just aware of all of the factors in a lot of these cases. Looks like Spain has been really getting a strong load of immigration lately as far as regions and municipalities taking their toll and their share of a burden. I noticed this one article in particular had a good perspective. This is what foreign invasion looks like. Boatloads of migrants have already been washing up on Spain's beaches in scenes that have shocked observers. According to a report in a Spanish newspaper, El Mundo, North Africa is becoming a pressure cooker, with at least 50,000 African migrants desperate to cross into the European country via the Strait of Gibraltar. The report explains how criminal people smugglers are helping the migrants circumvent border controls in Morocco while telling them that Spain is their, quote, paradise. And this number is at 50,000 and continues to grow, they say, with men becoming more violent in their efforts to reach Europe. Spain has become the number one point of arrival for migrants crossing the sea to Europe in 2018 with over, 21,000 so far. Processes quickened after the country's socialist government gave the green light for open borders. We've had a surpassing of Italy recently. Basically, Italy was the highest, and now Spain has overtaken them with the number that are trying to enter Europe through their country. Someone's commenting on this one video, a photo of a beach with some of these vessels approaching. Lots of laughs at that clown car raft. It looks like it could safely hold 10 vibrants. Then 200 Punta Quintes spill out of it, racing for the nearest white woman's bedroom. In parentheses, she welcomes them. Yeah, with all the propaganda out there, too many people willing to be far more giving than these mostly savages deserve. But we've had a large increase in a lot of these areas. I covered a lot of other cities as well recently. We had some videos here of some of these. Well, they're described as invading hordes, rampaging mercenaries, and being used as mindless weapons of the, well, this refers to it as white elite. If you replace that with Jewish elite, they may actually be onto something. They're trying to suggest where you direct your hate as far as blaming the Western elitists. I think they need to rephrase that as I say, Jewish elitists. But other than that, it would be pretty spot on. But you know, you can't take blame away from the people either. I mean, to say only blame those responsible for pushing all of this is, it's kind of ridiculous once you have these people here and committing crimes with these sort of attitudes, you know. I don't know, if there are any particular parts of Europe or America, you know, any of you have been recently keeping up with, like to share something. Once again, I say, you know, feel free to give a call in tonight, 747-999-6407. I don't know, maybe you want to talk about Sandy Hook, Alex Jones, or, you know, this whole regulation of social media and tech giants. You know, I'd like to get your takes on all of these things. We have a lot of NGO-based threats coming at a lot of these countries resisting immigration now. Like this one story out of Breitbart, mass migration activists warn Croatian police to stop protecting border. Supposedly over here in the U.S., we're hearing Trump calling for a voter ID law. I think that's too little too late. And, you know, arresting people in charge of these sanctuary cities, including Chicago, would be a much better first step than just, you know, vaguely talking about something this far in the game. Come on. But even hearing that is, I wasn't even expecting. It was a ridiculous amount of money that the prisons used your taxpayer dollars for with one illegal. This story was pretty absurd. An illegal alien convicted of sex abuse bankrupts county with 1 million taxpayer funded medical bills. That's right, a previously convicted illegal alien accused of sexually abusing an underage girl who he is related to, no less. A brilliant stock of individuals here immigrating. Abused the underage girl he's related to is now racking up close to 1 million in taxpayer funded medical bills while in Utah's prison. Evidently he was diagnosed with cancer and has now begun treatment as an illegal convicted sex offender in our prisons. Already shelling out 1 million. And it's just ridiculous some of the numbers they're mentioning that they have here, at least at the moment. The country has an illegal alien population of about 12 million illegal aliens, costing American taxpayers about $116 billion every year. That's what they have currently for their sources. Just ridiculous. But, you know, I mentioned Croatia being threatened, and we're getting threats here in the U.S., city by city, sanctuary city of Philadelphia is no longer cooperating with ICE. The reason being, the mayor had activists, anti-ICE, you know, pro-open border activists, if you want to call them that, I'd say terrorists, storming City Hall there in Philadelphia. And well, they referred to the mayor as a sanctuary-loving Philadelphian mayor, but I don't know if they're referring more to the city or him in particular, but yeah, regardless, we have people all over our cities and across Europe just getting these threats from these NGOs, and it just keeps increasing. We had, and I was mentioning Spain a little while ago. I forgot to mention there's a tourist who's got a lot to say in this one article on Spain as well. An American tourist who was severely beaten in the streets of Barcelona by African migrants last week, decided to speak up. 45-year-old Miami native Jose Bravo, no less, said he had to act when he saw a group of migrants surrounding a woman and hitting her nearby, but said they tried to kill him when he intervened. He says, "Now I have a bad image of Spain. This country is becoming the third world, and that's the politicians' fault. They're putting the tourists and their people in danger," told the media. And members of the Spanish government have denounced the Barcelonian mayor for the chaos brought by the thousands of migrants who entered Spain in recent months. This mayor, Ada Colau, they refer to saying, "Colau is sinking Barcelona with his performance as mayor. It's not politics. It's incompetence and frivolity." And yeah, this is giving similar numbers to the amounts that have been entering Spain. I noticed another report, a couple more reports on it. Italy. One Italian boat takes over 100 migrants. It's saved in the Mediterranean Sea over back to Libya. They find this boat stranded. They, "Sure, we'll rescue you and we'll take you back to where you came from." You know, wow. What an amazing new invention, you know, this sort of procedure. Show me more. That's all I have to say. Show me more. You know, so that's inspiring to see that at least after so much abuse, these countries can start to turn things around. But I mean, it's still pretty rough there. I mentioned the Black Axe Nigerian gang. Sicilian mafias have had to start negotiating with due to their barbarous formative rivalry, basically. But we also had a machine-wielding group of Nigerians waging war in an Italian city. Blood flows in the streets of Ferrara, Italy, as Nigerian migrants wage war with machetes, axes, and knives. Evidently, knives are, you know, very popular for a lot of these Africans, and of course, there's a lot more gun laws across much of Europe compared to the U.S., so it's just pretty logical to me, but yeah, knife crimes are up significantly, and that's across Italy, Spain, much of Europe, actually. It's just utter insanity as far as how much is being put up with. Notice reports out of Hungary of Viktor Orban's five tenets to rebuild Europe. And some of the commenters took to task rephrasing with some bold lettering some of his five tenets to be a bit more hardcore. Found that pretty interesting. And then like some of the commenters go actually into elaborating on where all this immigration comes from. We have one commenter mentioning the Kalergi plan. Let the Jewish supremacist Barbara Spector clue you in on the Jew supremacist Kalergi plan. Kalergi married a Jewess, and all of hell's angels were let loose on the white race and their culture. And they go on to quote the autobiography of his, when he was introduced to a, and this was a Jew friend, Baron Louis de Rothschild, introduced to Jew Max Warburg, according to this commenter. But they have links and everything, you know, who offered to finance his movement for the next 3 years by giving him 60,000 gold marks. Warburg remained sincerely interested in the movement the remainder of his life, and served as an intermediate, aka director for Klaudenhof clergy, with influential Americans such as Jew banker Paul Warburg and financier Jew Bernard Baruch. And then they goes on to mention in April 1924, Klaudenhof clergy, financed by the Jews, founded the journal Pan-Europa, which ran 1924 to 1938, of which he was editor and principal author. It's pretty interesting. Sometimes comments can be worth reading. But, you know, Orban, although he's not being as stringent in his ethnic delineations for his five tenets as he should, you know, it's a nice start, you know. And we need to see more people representing who really represent us. I mentioned how much the migrants in Germany have been sending out of the country. I think I reported last week, migrants in Germany sent $16 billion to their homeland in 2016, for example. We're getting a report now. The German government pays for 3 weeks vacation for refugees to go home. Can you believe this? You know, no, let them, they're going to let them back in again, though, is evidently. Is this, well, what is this? You know, and it even starts out, you really cannot make up a story like this because it sounds just so unbelievable. I am in Germany on business and did not see the place overrun with refugees as on my last trip. So I made some inquiries. To my complete astonishment, the German government is actually giving refugees 3 weeks paid vacation, including airfare, back to the very countries they came. They claim that they are fleeing because it is unsafe. So in other words, despite claiming their lives would be at risk, they were forced to return home. We'll be right back.
Hearing all about Jews and their beloved Israel. This is America.
Hey, don't say that. Jews do so much for us and deserve our thanks.
Okay, so what do they do?
Although they are only 2% of the population, they are running our banks and overall monetary system, ensuring our children receive proper education and medication, entertaining us with TV, movies, magazines, and gossip, running some of our biggest corporations, including the big tech giants, weeding out awful hate speech, and promoting the rainbow of alternative lifestyles and gender identities, and funding the campaigns of our honorable and honest politicians.
Wow, they sure do a lot.
That's right. Don't be an anti-Semite. Let the chosen rulers of this world know you appreciate them.
Thanks, Jews!
Renegade Broadcasting. hard-hitting talk radio.
Folks, yeah, the German government is actually giving refugees 3 weeks paid vacation, including airfare back to Germany after it's over. So in other words, despite claiming their lives would be at risk if they were forced to return home, the government is paying them for a vacation to the very place they claim to be fleeing. Again, you just cannot make up such a completely insane government policy. I know someone who works with the refugees, his article writer points out, and they're confirming that they are on vacation back home. It goes on to sum up, therefore, asylum seekers are nonetheless returning to their homeland for a, quote, short time. Search to see if I could find any article on the subject, and they did more investigation on it and this sort of thing. Refugees go on vacation where they are allegedly persecuted, which reinforces the growing problem caused by the fact refugees are allowed to leave the country for 21 days a year, but not obliged to say where they are going. Migrants are protected and are entitled to privacy. This is really quite insane. I mean, and of course, it mentions there's no actual proof these people are really persecuted in their home countries. Syria was at least a war zone. People have been pouring in from all over North Africa, which is not in a state of war. If someone is taking a vacation for 21 days at government expense back to the place they fled, common sense dictates they are not refugees. Government incompetence is just off the charts. I like a lot of what's pointed out. I like a lot of the phrasing in that, and it's just truly, just like they say, you know, you can't make this up. It's just so absurd. Another article referring to Germany, the refugee crisis. Now Germany is deciding they do want to deport an amount of people, at least a percentage in varying situations. But they're saying Germany can't find 50% of those they now want to deport. Well, you think you should have realized that earlier? They're not going to be sticking around long enough, you know? I mean, once you're being so lax, it's kind of said and done. I mean, this is just so naive. And, I don't really need to go much more into that. We are in the second hour here, so this is a good time for you folks, if you do want to just call in about other topics or, you know, along with anything I've been rolling here with in conversation, if you want to comment, the second hour here, 747-999-6407, 747-999-6407. 6407. We have a lot of talk of another anti-white psyop. At least that's the vibe I'm getting, you know. Seems like it's in the air somewhat. Just gathering from all of the different things that are being stressed to us, both from independent and corporate media alike, a combination of issues out there. And it just, we've already had this Portland event that had just happened. Well, there were big threats from Antifa. I didn't really get a follow-up on what happened on Saturday. If any of you have anything to mention in this further up, it just seemed, we heard a little mention of it yesterday. It wasn't too, much other than, I think, a lot of sound bites on both sides. I mean, I saw a little bit of footage of it. There was one guy who was hit by a bunch of Antifas. They were trying to get a flag away from him. They were hitting him and some body shots finally in the head. And he hit the ground from that. And, it just showed people dispersing. They were, even though the one side had a permit, it just seemed similar to Charlottesville. Like they were trying to create a similar thing, you know? And then the police were just evacuating everyone after the anti-racists were starting a bit of something. There was some event that was supposed to be going on. Was this in Canada? And with that sham Laura Southern and Stephen Milieu. They mentioned New Zealand, that they were prevented from speaking due to powerful forces. These are all controlled opposition types, obviously. They had something with they were trying to arrange in Canada as well. And this just seems like another psyop, like the Portland incident there. And then I know I mentioned Kessler at the end of the show last week. We had another event that he was planning for. They're saying that he tried at first to hold something similar to the Charlottesville that he was considering it, then revoked that one, changed, I don't know, maybe there was, who cares what they're giving for the reason? We can't believe any of this, but they're saying now he's got some DC event for the 12th. And Black Lives Matter is going to take center stage as the opposition this time rather than Antifa. They've already done a march. And followed up in some park or something. And now they're going to, they had a march on the 3rd. It ended up in with some rally in a park, and that was the anniversary date. They marked the anniversary date, they say, to Charlottesville for that, and now they're going to show up to counter Kessler's white rights rally in D.C. on the 12th. And They say, we will confront fascism, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, white supremacy, and state violence on August 10th to 12th. At the top of the list, though, folks, confront fascism and anti-Semitism. All right. And they say, Jason Kessler, the white nationalist organizer, says he expects 400 people to attend in support of the rally. Last year's Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, which was attended and organized by hundreds, turned violent, The D.C. chapter of Black Lives Matter told Fox 5 they're planning to provide training sessions for counter-protesters in anticipation of safety concerns. Wow, check out the legal ease in their statement. Very diplomatic way of putting it, but you know, Black Lives Matter are starting to become more and more like Antifa, is the impression I'm getting. You know, it's going to be less and less of a way to distinguish the two. They're saying this will be remembered in history as the day Americans of all colors and religions united against hate to say there is no place for bigotry and racism in America. So Black Lives Matter are already getting, you know, a lot more of the airtime than, well, I mean, supposedly they're crediting Kessler, you know, with being the organizer again, this white civil rights rally coming up. So, I mean, I can really see, you know, between whining again in August, you know, a replay of Charlottesville, and then them having this talk of Facebook and Google being regulated, the feds to step in on that, and the Alex Jones Sandy Hook trial all around the same time here. You know, I am just really wary that the Hegelian dialectic is at play regarding our First Amendment and independent media. That's what I'm saying. You know, hate speech, you know, this is what the focus could be on. And we have a caller who just joined us, 512 in Texas. How you doing?
Hi, Richard. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah. Hi. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm calling from Austin, Texas.
Okay.
Well, I never call in. Sorry.
So you say you never call in. What can we call you for the listeners?
Well, first time caller, and I'm shy, so I just wanted to say, since I have been in Germany recently, and you asked for people's impression of what, you know, might be up going on, it's just a snapshot of, I was just there for a few weeks, and I did think that it was overrun with immigrants. It was strange. If you could turn the sound down and just look at where you were, you wouldn't even know you were in Germany, because it would look like you were in New York or LA. There were so many, it seemed like the Germans were in the minority in some places where I was at. But you know what was really strange is I went on a medical trip there, and I saw a doctor there that was pretty well aware of what was going on. But the majority of the rest of the people, they looked happy. The Germans, they didn't look like they were aware of anything going on. But I've listened to Renegade for a long time, so I'm pretty aware of it. And it was kind of surreal. One day I was with my daughter, and we decided to leave the little town that we were in because it's pretty quiet and pretty slow. And I thought, well, maybe she's bored. So Frankfurt wasn't very far away. So we went there, and we came out of the train station from underground up into the street level. And I thought, this is the strangest thing I've ever seen. I couldn't tell where I was at. It was very disorienting. And I perceived that we were in the middle of a huge gay pride festival, and it was just, we were surrounded, and I wanted to get out of there and just go back to the quiet town where we were staying. You know, I'd never seen anything like that before, even in the United States. But it was all kinds of young Germans dressed up like, well, the bestiality, like the dogs and the cats and the other kind of animals, like animalia, whatever you call that. It was very strange. And I just thought to myself, you know, the normal people were like the dark immigrants. They looked normal relative to like the crazy, I guess, you know, like in the middle of a homosexual festival. It's very strange. But anyway, that was just kind of a impression that I got when we were there. And I just thought how sad. It just looked depressed to me overall, just the state of the conditions. And like I heard more people speaking other languages than I did even people speaking German there.
Mm-hmm. And it's no wonder not enough complaints were made sooner to the officials about all this immigration. When look at the mindset of the locals, when you mentioned how many were engaged in this, you know, these sort of parades and well, I mean, yeah, it sounds like the people have been disenchanted, primed to be overrun, is the impression I'm getting.
Yeah, and I think they can't speak out. They don't have free speech there, so I think a lot of them are just going with the flow and really don't know or understand what's going on. And I could be wrong, but I was surprised. I thought, you know, well, maybe they do know what's going on over there. But then when I was actually there, I thought, no, they really don't. It's just status quo. I think it's just completely going by a lot of them.
I knew one German through a friend. He was dating a friend of mine a few years back when he was visiting in the States. I know he worked for a business with web advertising and web design and this sort of thing, but he wasn't all that conservative in his look, you know. I mean, he was into like, you know, modern metal music and had that kind of a look to him and that, but he was relatively conservative in his views. But, you know, when the subject of the war you know, just the past of Germany had come up in conversation, you know, he basically just expressed to her that, well, I mean, it seemed like he had a lot of shame. Like he believed the official story very much.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just said it's just really something we don't talk about, is the way he put it.
Right. Right. Yeah. My one of my best friends over here is German. And she said they didn't know anything growing up. It was only when she moved over here to the States and she started doing a little research, and then she came across Renegade, and she's the one that told me about Renegade. And that's when she started learning everything. So kind of strange that she heard it on Renegade, her own, you know, her own country. She was married to a Jewish guy, and now they're divorced. And the truth can mess up people's relationships. Yeah, when your family, you know, doesn't want to come along or hear it. And the same thing happened to me. You know, if you don't want to know, then it's very upsetting to people. And So it's a, yeah, it's kind of dangerous. It kind of makes you, you know, second guess. It's like, well, what should I say? Should I say, you know, how many relationships do I want to estrange? It's a difficult place to be.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, if they find out information that completely contradicts information that's been beaten into their heads for so long, it can be a disconnect that they can't quite resolve. They might not even address it too much consciously, but unconsciously it could be there. I mean, I could even see a lot of these extreme behaviors, such as the what you describe in these LGBT sort of parades and things, and with the animal costumes even and all that being so popular. I think they call that sometimes, some call those furries, I believe, even. I mean, but just the sort of, yeah, I mean, way they can release that confusion, you know, that they can't quite process, you know, in acting out in these lifestyle choices. But I could even see that relating to the amount we're lied to as a population, you know.
Yeah, I guess it's easier to be really strange than it is to be normal and try to reconcile the truth with the present reality. But speaking of that, my whole family, like 99.999%, are right-wing Christians, and they don't like to hear the truth. It's too disturbing. It's too, and I think everybody has to do their own waking up, and it starts with curiosity. And then either you're the type of person that digs and can't get enough and wants to know more, and then just keeps unfolding, or you don't want to know it all. And if someone too close to you knows and tries to tell you, you don't have the credibility. They have to hear it from maybe pretty much a stranger, because it's too what's it called? The cognitive dissonance is too much for people when they hear it from someone that they know that's close to them. It's like, it doesn't seem real. It seems like to them, you're the crazy one. You know, something's wrong with you. You've got to stop listening to these people. And talk about Alex Jones. I'm in Alex Jones country, and that's where I first got started, you know, mm-hmm. kind of getting into it. And then I found out what a, you know, psycho he is eventually. And thanks to Renegade for that. I mean, he's even weirder probably than is put out there. The guy's so, so bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, being in, it looks like I'm seeing you're near Austin, but yeah, being in Texas, there are a lot of people who care a lot about the, you know, their liberties. You know, I mean, that's why Alex Jones and even that that RBN, Republic Broadcasting, is based in Texas as well. You have a lot of people who care about their guns, you know, and you know, the gun rights, and freedom of speech, First Amendment rights as well there. But yeah, do you see him as, I don't know, more and more being a, you know, a kosher gatekeeper? It's kind of how I've grown to see it, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, his present wife is, you know, she was a Jewish escort girl. So he was already married to another Jewess when he started this relationship with this present one, this present Jewess. And he started being unfaithful with the present Jewess, I believe, with one of his staff there. So, I mean, he's just all, you know, he's a complete, absolute, total hypocrite. It's just all an act. It's all an act.
And so have you heard much about this affiliation he's had attached to Wolfgang Halbig and the Sandy Hook. I mean, what are your thoughts on this?
I don't know. I tuned him out a while ago. In the beginning, he went along with Sandy Hook, and then I think he started going with the information that he, you know, was kind of like, oh, well, I guess I better disavow my original stance and say that, yeah, I probably was fake. I think he was just blowing whichever way, you know, he thought the wind was going, and just trying to cover his bases. And then I pretty much tuned him out. Like, I just couldn't listen to him. I always hated him. He's the most unconscionable, interruptive. He, no matter who he has on, he just can't help it. It's so involuntary. He interrupts everyone, every sentence they try to get out. It's shameless. I don't know how anybody listens to him, really. It just made it all that much easier for me to hate him. When I found out what a fraud he was, is
right.
So I pretty much just faithful to Renegade. I just can't stand to hear the lies coming out of people, so I really try to tune it out. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Well, if you'd like to stay on the line, maybe we could get some more insight from you after the break. And I see we have someone else who just joined. If they could hold on, we have a break coming in, and maybe we could hear from 619 in California.
Sure.
And if anyone else, okay, all right, great. Here, I'll just mute you both for this second. And if anyone else does want to call in the last segment, that'll be 747-999-6407.
Believed that Britain is a country of migrants. I'm Jewish. Some of my family came in the late 19th century. I'm Sephardi on my mother's side.
The Liberal Democrats will always stand up for a Britain that is open, tolerant and diverse. And in that spirit, I very much welcome the Jewish European Election Manifesto, calling for a strengthening of EU hate crime legislation. As a party, we wholeheartedly value the relationship we have with the Jewish community, both in Britain and internationally.
They're making the last film. They say it's the best. And we'll help make it. It's called the death of the West. The kids from fame will all be there. Free Coca-Cola for you, and all the monkeys from the zoo. Well, there'll be extras too. They're making the last film. They say it's the best, and we all help make it. It's called the death of the West. A star is rising in our northern sky, and on it we're crucified. A chain of gold is wrapped around this world. We're ruled by those who lie. We're ruled by those who...
Hello, folks, and we're back, the final segment. And we have a new caller, 619 in California. Hello, could you hear me?
Oh, hey, Rich. Hello?
Hello? Hi. Okay. Who is this?
Kevin.
Oh, Kevin. Hey, good to hear from you. Hey, how have you been taking the show today? Did you have any thoughts on anything in particular?
I just sort of I heard like bits and pieces. I called, and sometimes when I listen, it gives me about a minute, then it cuts off. So I got cut off a couple of times in the segments. But I heard you guys talking about Sandy Hook, and I think it was Alex Jones, Wolfgang. Yeah. How big? I just wanted to, I didn't quite hear the whole thing, but what were your thoughts on Wolfgang? How big? In regards to Sandy Hook.
Oh well, I've heard him discuss on a number of different interviews a lot of the facts of the incident for quite a few years, and on a lot of platforms he's been interviewed on. I really do think he's legit, I do believe from all of this information that no one died at Sandy Hook. I mean, the school was not operating for the months leading up till there whatsoever. The building was in a state where it wasn't up to code, and in many parts of it were in disrepair. And yes, there's a lot of information and records, even records, different types of state records of information, even this year, that are still in the books that haven't been scrubbed enough to support the official story. But yeah, he has a lot of evidence that supports this. In addition to that, his job used to be an inspector for schools, and he knows all of the procedures, and situations like that, and nothing was by the book. So on top of all the information he uncovered to disprove it, he could also tell you for a fact that, just how many things were going against protocol, and therefore also drawing heavy suspicion on it.
Okay, yeah. That's what I thought, because I've listened to him and saying, I just heard a little bit about, I wasn't sure if it was Alex Jones, that was in regard to Alex Jones. I figured he was for real, but all the other people that even interview him, it's like some of the guys, Fetzer, Alex Jones, some of them, not to say that they're all, wrong, but it's like some of the guests they have, draw some suspicion, but that guy seems like legitimate.
Yeah. You can't let it reflect too much, I guess, how many platforms they're on. I mean, Wolfgang's been on a lot, though. I mean, yeah, but the corporate media attaching the names, Sandy Hook and Alex Jones, attaching the names Wolfgang Halbig and Alex Jones, is an attempt to discredit, Wolfgang, and discredit looking into the official story of Sandy Hook, I think, because Alex has already established himself as, the National Enquirer of the current era, the way that they're showing so much bias on Facebook and Twitter to, like, being, anti-conservative, and now they're trying to, I think, use that as a justification to censor us even more in the future. I think is a danger, when they bring up a court issue like this Sandy Hook investigation or questioning, it's almost like the new Holocaust, Sandy Hook, for conspiracy theories. Oh. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know if I was. I just called in to listen for a little while. I did want to talk to you. Am I interrupting with your other? If you need to finish up with your other, I'll stay on the line. If you still have time later, I'll chime in or whatever. So I called a couple a month or two ago, and I want to talk to you about some of your other guests on some other radio shows. But I'm just listening by that phone right now. So if you want to, I know if I was interrupting your other call.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, no, I mean, I'd be curious to hear sometime, your comments and some of my previous guests, from whatever platform. Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, I called in, if you have time today, I'll listen to it, or I'll call back sometime before the end of the show if you have time. So
sounds good, man.
Yeah, or, okay, or cool. Catch me on another week for sure. I'd love to hear about it.
Okay, cool. Okay.
All right.
Thanks. Thanks for it. Bye.
Goodbye. Okay, and just checking back. Well, 512 in Texas. Hi, are you still on the line?
I am. Yeah, I agree about Wolfgang Halbig. I don't have that much more to say about it. I think he's for real, for sure. And I know Alex Jones is just an opportunist and, you know, probably just trying to save himself and stay afloat by this time. But I just wanted to get out there what I had about Germany and how, like, kind of a sad state that I found it in. I was disappointed that they didn't seem more aware. Then I just wanted to report that. And also, yeah. Though, another thing is, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask if you, you know, had any conversations with any of the German people while you were there.
Well, they're not too, you know, I mean, just really like asking for directions. But I went there on a medical trip, and the doctor that I saw, he's very well aware of everything going on and the whole story about the tribe. He pretty much was all on it, very intelligent, really high level of knowledge, and nothing's getting by him, but he's not the youth there, and it's the youth that I found that was sad, that they just looked like, in the Germans I'm talking about, looked like any other tattooed and pierced to death with green or purple hair Americans that you see. You really couldn't tell a difference. And that was strange to me, because I don't travel everywhere, but it seems like everywhere I go, the young people, no matter where they are just all defaced. And I find that pretty sad, being of middle age. You know, and even in my wildest days, the wildest people that I knew didn't permanently deface themselves like the youth are today. So I guess it's pretty universal about now. But one thing that we ended up doing there was turning German TV on and finding that it is just as bad as American TV, and because a lot of it is American, it's just dubbed into German. But they do have a lot of kind of infomercials where they feature these pity stories about how they're going out and rescuing boatloads of migrants and bringing them in. So it's all a brainwashing, and their media is just as controlled, of course, and orchestrated and agendized as ours is here.
And did you see, like, as far as like the young people hanging out together, couples and that, did you see what appeared to be much race mixing with the immigrants, or not as much as the propaganda would want for the people? Because I know here in Chicago, I see a lot of it now that, like, you know, for quite a few years, it's been in all of the entertainment media schools doctrine, you know. So how
yeah,
about
I know
Germany
it's there?
There.
Yeah, I know that it's there, that it exists. I know for sure. But when I lived in Europe in the 80s, my brother was stationed in Germany, and I went to see him. And he told me something funny back then, which I just dismissed and thought, well, that's kind of weird, but whatever. I didn't think about it too much. But he said even back then, they were officers. The white guys were off the officers, and the enlisted were a lot of blacks. And that the German girls, even back then, wouldn't date any of the white officers. They just wanted to go out with the black enlisted guys. And I thought, how strange. But I didn't see it, and I was only in a couple of different places on this last trip. It was pretty focused and geared towards the purpose that I was there for. But I looked for it. I did. I was like, you know, hey, when am I going to see it? But I don't know. It's different. I would say that there's differences still yet there. Like everywhere over here, it seems like they're pushing every kind of media. You're always seeing white woman with a black man or black woman with a white man and, you know, magazines and TV and advertising. And I didn't see that as much over there. But their German TV, they have these kind of programs for the youth, I guess. And they're all green, blue, purple hair, you know, rainbow, very rainbow. It's very rainbow over there for sure. And they look just as hideous as any American that you would just pull off the street that looks like that. It's just, it's exactly the same. You wouldn't know that you were in another country, except they speak it German.
Oh yeah. When you mentioned a lot of the alternative looks and, like, you know, I mean, wardrobe, hair color, all that, it makes me think of how it seems like the punk phenomena, you know, and culture of the 70s and 80s has now translated into this LGBT psyop. Like, I mean, not that the punk phenomenon and rock didn't have, you know, psyops embedded in it to begin with, but I mean, this seems so much more concentrated in trying to just dissect, you know, everything about just the family and the culture, you know?
Yeah, somehow back then it seemed more authentic and real and sincere, and today it just seems schmaltzy and something people just do because they can't think of anything else to do, I guess, and it doesn't really seem like it's them or it's coming from any kind of rebellion. Is more of it's just like, oh, it's a trendy thing, it's a liberal thing, it's a, you know, whatever. Not as meaning, not as meaningful, not as sincere. It's not, you know, back then it seemed like it was actually being rebellious. Now it just seems like it's just going along with weirdness, if you get the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. It might sound subtle to some, but I do see the difference you made.
And, yeah, well, you said something about, you said something earlier, which I thought, okay, that's kind of funny that you say that. Yeah, that people here, it's like 50-50. We do like our firearms and, you know, our individual rights and our state's rights because we're in Texas. But depending on the neighborhood you're in, it could be every yard sign has a Black Lives Matter in it. Yard sign. It just depends where you're at. It's they're trying really hard to turn it blue, I guess, as much as they can. And Austin's very liberal, so in that way, that's, you know, agendized gun grabbing, and it's pretty controlled. Well, we are Agenda 21 City, you know, so they're going to be pushing that.
Okay, so you do have at least in what I'm getting is for more of the white areas, at least still a bit more appreciation. Such as for the First and Second Amendment rights, but in a lot of the black neighborhoods, and of course I hear that there's a lot more Hispanic, a lot more Mexican and mestizos moving into Texas, just like California. Is that right? You're getting a larger and larger leftist population from them as well?
Seems like it. Yeah. Can't disagree with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we have just a lot of extreme
acting out, you know, I mean, to try to just go one step further every time. I mean, you know, I'm seeing all these articles like this New York professor, we're on the verge of completely losing our culture. You know, I wonder if we've already lost it. You know, another article mentioning left-wing media literally driving Americans into mass mental illness, psychiatrists baffled. Now, I mean, I think a lot on the corporate media's right with agendas are doing a lot of damage as well, you know. So I, you know, I never fall for those paradigms, of course. But at the same time, I mean, it is absurd just how much some of these people, proponents for the far left, are getting away with such extreme behavior. Like, I mean, the comments of the that editor, you know, Sarah Jung, that we were discussing, you know, this double standard in the schools, shaming white children. They'll separate them from special classes, you know, praise, you know, the black children and give them cupcakes and shame the white children and make them think about their white privilege. In Australia now, all of the nurses have to confess their white privilege before assisting an immigrant. This just came out now. Before treating patients, they're getting a huge uproar about it. But there's 350,000 nurses and midwives in Australia, and yeah, they're trying to fight this. This is just such ridiculousness in this whole you know, anti-whiteness thing. But we have it in our schools now, you know, in the grade schools and colleges. What are your thoughts on this sort of thing?
Well, that kind of blows my mind. It just gets more ludicrous by the moment. It's just when you think you've heard it all, I guess we're just going to keep hearing more of that. Well, my daughter just graduated from high school, and they really got her. They've got her under their mind control for sure. And it was that was hard on me. I have a son, and he's awake, but he did terrible in the school system. It almost destroyed him. And my daughter did very well because she basically took it on hook, line, and sinker. And it doesn't matter what you say. She's very intelligent, but when you're under mind control, it's she can win an argument even when she's wrong, is how smart she is. She just doesn't have the right information. And she doesn't want it either, because she wants, you know, to be in the system, and she wants it to work for her. So they've done a pretty thorough job, and it's scary.
Yeah, no, it can be difficult to deal with. So, I mean, if she ever changes her perspectives, you know, it's going to have to be from somewhere else. She's not going to take that information well from a parent. And so you just have
That's
to see
right.
how things. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, off she goes to college, and, so we'll see how it all turns out.
And of course, as a parent, you'll be supportive regardless, but yeah, it's just.
That's right.
Be very.
Yeah. Want them to do well, want them to think they have a bright future and make something positive and make a difference happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thanks for taking my call, Richard. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate you and everyone at Renegade. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciated your call, and please do call in again.
A great call. Thank you.
Have a great
thank
night.
You, bye.
Goodbye. And 619, are you still on the line? Did you have anything you wanted to comment on what we were discussing?
Oh, hey, Rich.
Hey.
Oh, just in regards to what I think I called like a month ago about some of your guests on your other show.
Yeah. What? Sure. What did you want to mention about that?
Oh, yeah. I just briefly talked to you the last time. I think I called into yours or Kyle. I think it might have been Kyle's, and you were on the line. You said to call in sometime about.
Or maybe that was on Charles when I was speaking with Raleigh on and Charles even.
I think you guys were talking about like a rock. It was like a rock subject. I sort of went all over the place. It wasn't like on subject, so I just mentioned a couple of things. Yeah. So.
All right. What people did you want to comment on?
Yeah, I spoke to you about Thomas Joseph Brown, and you just had to call back and just talk to you about some of the people you might want to start interviewing again or something. I was just asking if you were still like interviewing him at all. What do you plan on
interviewing who you say?
Thomas Joseph Brown.
Oh, he's a great guest on scientific topics, and I would just have to pick a good subject for him because we definitely love all things science here. As long as he wouldn't mind being on Renegade, I mean, I hadn't interviewed him since I was on another platform, and that wasn't one that covered a lot of the racial issues or a lot of like the Jewish control that we delve into here at Renegade. I definitely would still like to to hear from him. Not everyone agrees with all of our viewpoints. He's not racially conscious, for example. Some people may have a problem, I don't know, with guests like that. I don't know, but
I don't agree with everything you guys. I don't know if that. I don't think it's a prerequisite for calls. I don't agree. I don't agree with a lot of you guys.
Yeah.
I agree. Like on one level, it's like the last time I called in, I felt like I was like going off point. I was trying to make a point. Like on a couple of people I've read. That say the whole thing is rigged, like higher up. It's all, they're all like scapegoats. They're all, they're all like chameleons. And they're posed, I tried calling Charles' program about the protocols, and Madame Blavatsky and one of her proteges, supposedly found the, they say it's a fake. She found it, and Alan Dulles to kill it, and to disprove it. He's the one who discovered it. So I just wanted to give like information that I found. That I think is, part of the whole game. I don't. It's hard to explain. The whole thing's like a, it's sort of a rabbit hole. But I'm not trying to discredit you guys because I could be wrong too. But I'm not like totally convinced it's all like the low level Jews or, anything like that. I just like the science subjects and the history. But.
Mm-hmm.
I did hear your. Your program, you got. I think you guys were talking about the protocols on your other channel, and whether the other radio host is, he's like freaking out. So I don't know if that was his first time hearing about it, but that was on, I think, the Truth Cat radio. I think you guys brought up the protocols on one of those subjects. And your host,
Well, the manager, since you bring it up, I mean, on that station, the manager is willing to talk about the protocols and Zionism. He'll read from the protocols, but he's one of those that won't implicate all Jews, and he's very brainwashed with the whole Christianity thing. And so he's coming from like a New Age Christian, New Age metaphysical interest type of Christian. of sorts, sort of angle. And, after a while, I just realized how much that was even starting to censor me and get problems for me and my guests, and just certain subtleties, and just it wasn't working out. And I'll hear it from a lot of people out there, contradictions to themselves, especially when it comes to the Third Reich and World War II. You'll have people contradicting themselves very often, like almost like they think that they'll be less likely to be censored if they throw in a bit of the official Jewish narrative of things. You say you're not too, you're not too sold on a lot. I'd say look into the Jewish lobby groups, and just
I grew up in New York. I'm just saying, I grew up on Long Island. There was like, there's probably more Jews over there than Israel. So you know, a lot of them were assholes, you know, like everybody else. A lot of them were, you know, a-holes, and, you know, a lot of them, some of them were my friends, but they were always, like, with their religion, always kept them distant because of their, you know, I guess if they were strict, you know, their associations with the, you know, the Sabbath and the, you know, the Goyim and all that crap. I mean, my father grew up in the Bronx. He told me the same shit, you know, but it's like, I don't agree. It's hard to say. I just wanted to bring up one. There's one guy I had listened to before. I he just wrote a book, I think, in 93. He was saying all the German guys, it was like a secret, he goes into like the Nazi training with the enemy stuff before Paperclip in Los Alamos. So I just wanted to talk to somebody if they knew about that stuff, because they had all these guys here like in 1936 through 38, I think, in Los Alamos. And they were working on Tesla technology. So, you know, Van Born and a couple of rocket guys and microwave experts, and they had, you know, a bunch of this shit. So, you know, as far as the technology goes, if you look at that, and maybe it's
well, I have made,
mm-hmm. Yeah, but
I haven't looked into that. I mean, I know there's a lot of information connecting, you know, the Third Reich with UFO technology or collaboration with Jews and Zionists. I know that a lot of that's disinformation.
No, I know,
well,
I know
that.
But I'm saying,
so,
but I'm saying all that shit goes to Antarctica and the Nazi belt. All that stuff is crap, I think. But there's a
right.
real guy out there whose books were suppressed, and that's all I'm saying. I found him first and a few other people, and the more I look into that and some other groups, I think some of this stuff might be a trap if they come out with these laws, you know, like, oh, you know, with the anti-Semitism laws, if you really talk about it, it just, you know, makes you look bad. I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not trying to, like, argue or anything, but that's like my view on it. But I appreciate you guys, you know, I listen to you guys a lot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not, no, I appreciate that. Yeah, and look forward to I'm sorry, what was your name again, you said?
Kevin.
Kevin. Okay. Well, no, I appreciate you calling again, and yeah, I look forward to hearing from you again, Kevin. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Thanks, Rich. Bye.
Have a good night.
Yeah.
It looks like we're out of time, folks. But thank you for listening. More to come next time, and have a great night.
You?
Yes, Goyim, you!
Fallen on hard times, need cash, sick of waiting tables? Here at the Juilletard School of Drama, we can make all your hopes and dreams come true. Sign up for our 33-week course and we will teach you how to laugh mid-sentence when describing how your friend was blown into 6 million pieces, how to move too soon before any shots or explosions are even heard, the lost art of driving into people but having your truck stay nice and clean, the correct posture when crouching over a dummy so your ID card doesn't cause neck strain. Sign up today and we guarantee weekly acting jobs with the CIA, FEMA, MI5, even Mossad! Scholarships and bursaries available for war veteran amputees and illegal immigrants. Juilletard School of Drama. We even supply the tomato sauce and dead chickens.
Oh, heels, sleepless nights, be merciful. I have found myself lost amongst the shards of a world reduced to shadow, sentenced to a lifetime in this prison. Well, I should have taken this omen and ran. A
abandoned myself to a secret corner.